Jude and I were just saying that the moving of the chairs kind of sounds like a train coming. Reminds me of something my dad always told me. He said, sometimes the light at the end of the tunnel is an oncoming train. That has proven true in my life on a number of occasions. Open with me, please, to Psalm 61. I'm getting old. I can't read. The last area that we're going to talk about today, as far as this root system being strong and healthy and sure and fed and watered, and we've talked about holiness and being in God's Word and the Holy Spirit and being rooted in Him. And the last one that I would like to talk to you today is about being rooted in prayer. Because I can remember, I was thinking of this morning as I got up. I can remember coming out of church all these years ago when I was a brand new Christian, and I would see all these groups huddled together outside in the courtyard in Costa Mesa praying. There was such a spirit and an activity and a love of prayer at that time. We prayed about everything. We prayed everywhere. We prayed for everybody. We prayed that our friends would come to church and get saved, and they did. We prayed for our families to come to church and get saved, and they did. There was a mighty move of God in those years that I am longing for again, but I think much of it was due to the fact that we just prayed. I walk out of church sometimes now and I see people huddled around holding their Starbucks cup. And I'm a Starbucks lover. I have nothing against Starbucks, but I do not see the body of Christ praying like I think we should be praying. We should be praying. The last couple of years, I've been working on my prayer life, or rather, what really is happening is God has been working on me and my prayer life. And it wasn't that I didn't pray. I've raised 5 teenagers. Of course, I am a woman of prayer. I now have 19 grandchildren and 3 great-grandsons. I pray. But this is so different, this what God is doing now. It's a deeper thing. It's a more difficult thing for me. I find myself praying longer, praying with more intensity. I find that my prayers are more passionate. And just as I said earlier this morning, that I don't think that we are at a time in our country or in the history of the church or in our own lives or in this church or in any other church when regular Bible study will do. I think we are at a time where regular prayer will not do either. So look at me at one prayer I want to talk to you about briefly this afternoon. Because when I read the prayers of the Bible, when I read the way David prays, or the way Daniel prayed, or the way even Jesus prayed, I realize how really wimpy my prayers can be. You know, we get ourselves into this pattern of prayer where, oh, Lord, just bless my children and my grandchildren and my husband. And I just don't think that's going to cut it at this point in time. I need to pray like David. Listen to how David prayed in Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O Lord. He's crying out, and he demands to be heard. Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth I cry out to you. David is desperate. He wants to be heard. And this is why he's crying out to him. He says, when my heart is overwhelmed. David is in a situation where his heart is overwhelmed. Anybody else ever been there? Overwhelmed by your problems, overwhelmed by your kids, overwhelmed by your finances, overwhelmed by your life, overwhelmed by your failures, when we are overwhelmed. And he says, my heart is overwhelmed. And this is what he asked God to do. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David's crying out, listen to me, hear me, lift me to the rock. I can't even get there by myself. David's crying out, he's overwhelmed, and here's what he's asking. Lead me to the rock, lift me to yourself, hear me, see me, reach down, pull me up to you. God loves this kind of prayer. He waits for it, he welcomes it, and he delights to answer it. Even though we are never far from our God, It is when we cry out that he seems to rush to us like never before. David's been crying from the ends of the earth. Do you hear me? Can you see me? Do you know me? Can you help me? Huge waves of trouble have washed over David. He is overwhelmed. He is drowning, is what the word says in the original. He is drowning. He feels like he is submerged, like he is going down for the last time. Some problems are bothersome, some problems are irritating, but there is a type of trial that is like this, that is overwhelming. It has swept over him. Mike and I went river rafting several years ago with a group of friends on the Tuolumne River up by Yosemite. It was a river that we had rafted before, and it was great fun. We just giggled our whole way down the White Rapids. But in this particular year, there had been an incredible snowpack, and the snowpack had melted, and the river had actually been closed because it was so dangerous until we arrived, and they opened it for us and our friends. And it was a ride down the river unlike any I've ever been on. I will never in my life go whitewater rafting again. I'm just here to say it was horrible. It was dangerous. I was thrown out of our raft coming down a small waterfall. Me and a couple of my friends, Mike included. I don't know if you've ever been in that kind, but there's this churning in the water. That's what makes the White Rapids. And the thing that's doing it is that there's rocks underneath. So you go out of your raft and you go down to the bottom. And I hit my leg on a rock, and then it would spit me back up again. And I grab a gulp of air and then I go down again. And one time I came up and I saw Mike, and he'd made it over to the side, and our rower guy, our leader, was pumping his back, getting the water out of his lungs, and I was sure that I was going to die. There was no doubt in my mind that I was going to die. I felt like David. I was overwhelmed. I was running out of air, and I went down for the last time, and it just seemed like forever to me. And finally, it spit me back up again, and I gulped this air, and there was a raft, one of our rafts coming towards me, and there was this lady on it who was one of the rowers, and she looked at me and she yelled out, "Just swim." And swimming meant I had to go against the current that was rushing down in order to get back in this raft. And Victor Nager, who was with us, I got up to it, I put my hand, and he lifted me up. He threw me upside down into the raft. And I want to tell you how absolutely adorable I looked, because I had on a wetsuit, which is not the best look for me. I had on a helmet. I had on a raft, you know, what do you call that, life jacket thing. And because I'd been under the river down so many times, my hair was sticking out of my helmet in all directions. But I did not care, because I was safe. And I felt like that. I was going, "Oh, help me, lead me, get me up onto a rock where I can be safe." And this is just kind of a sidelight, but later when we all got to safe ground and we all got out of our rafts, and actually they took me to a hospital because I'd hurt my leg. But anyway, I was talking to Mike, and I said, what was your last thought? You know, because I had had a last thought. I had had a I'm dying kind of thought. And Mike said, "You know, I had complete peace." And I said, "Lord, just take me now." And he said, "What was your last thought?" And I said, "Well, last night at dinner, there had been two desserts and I'd only had one. My last thought was, what the heck, I should have had both desserts because I'm going to die." I know. Deep spiritual woman that I am. But sometimes trouble makes you feel like that, like you're drowning, and you cry out from the end of the earth, and the only help will be if God sees you, God hears you, and God lifts you up to save you, which is exactly what he did to me. I love that prayer of David's, but I tell you, it makes me stop and think, what do I usually do in times of trouble like this? Do I go up into my room and close the door and get on my knees and cry out to God, or do I pick up my cell phone and call June or call somebody else? I mean, what is it that keeps us from the one thing that can help? And that's going to God in prayer. Crying out to him. David, at this point in time, he's hopeless, he's helpless, he's heartsick, he's homesick, he's friendless, he's fearful, he's fretful, he's falling apart, he's misunderstood, he's misused and abused, he's lost his kingdom, he's lost his kingship, and he's lost his family. But he knows what to do when things get like that, and he cries out to God. As I said, personally, I'm entering this whole new place in my relationship with God, and for some reason, God is calling me to prayer. Actually, it's not a call. God is dragging me to prayer. And I want you to know this. It's not that I'm even any good at it, because I'm not. Most of the time, I'm only half willing. A lot of the time, I'm only half awake. But for some reason, when I really thought at my age I could kick back, I could sit back, I could let the young take over, that I was done, that I wanted to rest, which I really do, I wanted to enjoy my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, I wanted to hang out with my husband, but for some reason God's not allowing me to do this, and what he is doing instead is he is making me into a woman of prayer. He is dragging me into his throne room. He is giving me no wiggle room, no way to get out, no escape. He's taking that root of prayer and working it deep down into my life. And I'm not sure exactly why it is that I'm praying more, that I'm praying longer, that I'm praying more passionately, I'm praying more like David prayed. Maybe it's because I have more issues in my life that do not seem to be resolved. More dear friends of mine are suffering, are sick, are backslidden. I see more tragedy, more trials, more tribulation, more sorrow, certainly more evil than I've ever seen before. And I fear that in the church, generally speaking, across the country, many of us have fallen asleep as far as this need of prayer is concerned. There's more things I can't fix, and there's so many things I'm too tired now to fight. And it started with me waking up several years ago, most nights, used to be 1 or 2, lately it's been about 4 o'clock, and I do not like to wake up in the middle of the night, and I am unable to go back to sleep. And so it took me a while to catch on, but I finally realized that God had probably woken me up, and so I would say, well, probably now I should pray, you know, I'm awake. Somebody once told me that if you want to go back to sleep, just pray, because Satan doesn't want you to pray. So as soon as you start praying, he's going to make you sleepy again. So I thought, you know, that was my motive. That was good, right? And so then I would pray. And I would run through my list. Don't you all just have a mental? I have a mental prayer list of things that need to be prayed for. I would pray for my children. I would pray for my friends. I would pray for my husband. I would pray for my church. I would pray for my grandkids. I would pray for myself. And I would go through my list, and I would pray for all those things, and I would find out at the end of praying for all those things that what I thought had happened did not happen, and I was still awake. So one night I actually said to the Lord, I said, come on, do you know what kind of day I have tomorrow? I need to go to sleep. And you know what he said? It's because I know what kind of day you have tomorrow that I think that you should stay awake and pray a little bit longer. All over the country, when I have talked to friends about what is happening in me, I am running into people who are having the same experience. I just talked to my friend Brenda. She wakes up, what time is it every day? At 3:16. If you wake up tonight at 3:16, I want you to know Brenda's awake and she's praying. Sometimes I'm up at 1. Lately I've been up at 4, and I have a friend in Florida who wakes up, no, I wake up at 1, she wakes up at 4, and we finally realize talking that we are awake at the same time praying. Anybody else being woken up in the middle of the night? Praise God! really, what else can we do? And don't, you know, I kind of hate that saying, well, what else can we do? We might as well pray. Because, you know, what better can we do than pray? So don't be longing for sleep. Sleep is overrated. It's more important that you and I be up and praying about the things that God puts on our hearts. And I want you to know, don't be impressed. It isn't that I decided to do this. Mike's grandmother was an intercessor prayer warrior. It was said about her that she could pray the shingles off a roof. She's a tiny little thing. She had a little prayer stool. She made Mike and his brother come when they came to her house, get down on the prayer stool and pray. And she was a prayer warrior. I have never thought of myself as a prayer warrior or as an intercessor because I've never been drawn in that direction. I have not decided to do this, and I have not made some kind of plan. Actually, I have no plan. I have no secret to share with you. I don't have a prayer journal to sell out front. I don't have, not that there's anything the matter with a prayer journal at all. I have no process that I've discovered that's really working as far as me getting answers. It's not that. It's not that I have suddenly tapped into the throne room and I'm going to share with you my secrets. And if you pray like I do, I'm sure you're going to get the answers that you have. No, honestly, it's not that at all. I'm not getting any more answers than I used to about my prayers. I'm not. How many of you have unanswered prayers for a year? 5, 10, 20. I have unanswered prayers for 45 years have not yet been answered. No wonder I'm up in the middle of the night. I still have all these things that I need to pray for. And I'm not getting any better at it. I'm not any more spiritual. I'm not any deeper. I don't have some strange language now that is making all my prayers be answered, but I can't seem to stop praying. God won't let me. He is faithful. He keeps calling me. He keeps dragging me into his presence. I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. He says, I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me, waking and sleeping. I pray, but it does not change God. It changes me. And like C.S. Lewis, I am being changed by my prayers. And the funny thing is, as I said before, I'm not even a good prayer. I'm forgetful. I'm easily distracted. I give up too soon. Have you ever been with, this has happened to me so many times, and probably some of you in this room were involved in this, where somebody comes up to me and says, oh, you know what's next Thursday? I've got this, and would you please pray for me? And I said, oh, I will pray for you. And then I run into them a week later, and they will say, thank you for praying. God answered, and I didn't pray. Anybody else do that? I totally forgot. And so God still worked, but I missed the blessing of being part of that answered prayer. I like my husband's approach. When you ask Mike to pray for something, he's going to pray for you right then. He has that instant prayer, like it's a reflex with him. He's not going to wait. That's a much better way to do it than to hope that you remember or that it goes on your prayer list. I'm forgetful. I'm easily distracted. I can be on my knees in my room, deep in prayer, and all of a sudden, I'm in my closet, in my head, and I'm going, I wonder if I have ever worn that turquoise blue top with those black pants. Anyway, you know, and then I think, who am I? What am I doing? But I'm easily distracted. Anybody else? Easily distracted. That's okay. Just get back to it and keep praying. I give up too soon. I don't ask, seek, and knock. I'm too easily discouraged. I'm too easily diverted. I wander off into other things. I'm not a good prayer, but you know what I am? I'm desperate. I am desperate for answers, for help, for strength. I'm desperate for him. And as I read the prayers of David or some of the other psalm writers, the ones we read right now, the disciples, the prophets, crying out to God with such passion, with such fervency, with such praise. I want to pray like that. I need to pray like that. I long to pray like that. What is it that we don't pray more? Is it because we're too easily defeated? or discouraged, too full of doubt? Do we feel we're too undeserving? Well, of course you answered June's prayer. She's much more spiritual than I am. Is it because we have grown cold, lost our passion for God himself, for God's people, for God to move and to work? Perhaps we fear we may not be good enough, we may not be worthy enough, we may not be spiritual enough for God to answer. Or as I said, or you experience a season of unanswered prayer where everybody else's prayers get answers, but not yours. Is it because we're too busy, we're not in the Word, we're lukewarm in our love for Him, our love for each other, our love for prayer? Are we too self-satisfied to really seek Him on our knees, too busy to wait on Him for His answers, too self-righteous to be corrected in a time of prayer? What is it that stops us, that keeps it? Have we forgotten how much we need Him, how helpless we are, how hopeless, how futureless without Him? Do we not know how much He longs to hear from us, to draw near to us, how much He loves us, how available He is? My son Jonathan, who's a musician, he once he got me tickets to a Christian band that I liked that was in town, that he was doing something for. He was a guitar tech or something, and he got me this pass that said, I don't know if you've ever been to a concert, but there's all kinds of passes you can get. There's a meet and greet pass, there's a backstage pass, and there is the ultimate pass that everybody wants that says on it, all access. It means you can go anywhere. Nobody will stop you. You can go backstage, you can go into the green room, you can go talk to the band. And Jonathan got me this pass that said all access. And I never went anywhere with it, but I did walk around with it on. So people would see this old lady. She had all access to wherever I wanted to go. Of course, too shy to ever go backstage, but I had the pass. Have we forgotten that we have this pass? That when Jesus died on the cross, that the veil in the temple was rent in two, and you have total access into the throne room, into your God? You just speak, and He's there. You just cry out, and He hears you. And it doesn't have to be well-worded. Sometimes I'm praying something, and I'll go, oh, that wasn't good. Let me try again. Ever do that? And I'll throw in a scripture, or I'll try to sound more King James-ish, or I'll do something as if I'm going to impress God, as if He doesn't know my thoughts already. You can stumble through your prayers and God still hears. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be emotional. It doesn't have to be loud, although it can be. It doesn't have to be impressive. It just has to come from your gut, from your heart, as you cry out to Him as David did. And let me tell you this, I know this for a fact. God will use anything to get us to a place of prayer. He will bring pain. He will bring panic. He will bring perplexities. He will bring problems. He will bring persecution. He will even use people to get you to a place where you cry out to Him. He will break your heart until you cry out to the only one that can help you, and begin to pray with passion, with persistence, with penitence, with praise. Prayers that seek Him and His presence. Prayers that are passionate. And He hears you. And when you get to that place of crying out to Him, the enemy is vanquished. We're in a time where the world is falling apart, where thousands are suffering for their faith, where children are being beheaded, where the church is being persecuted, where the church in America is soft. This is a time when we should be women of prayer. F.B. Meyer said this, the greatest tragedy is not unanswered prayer. The greatest tragedy is unoffered prayer. We need to break through our lukewarmness, our hypocrisy, our carelessness, our wandering hearts, our coldness, our vanity, our sleepiness, our pride, our forgetfulness, anything that keeps us from his presence, from seeking him. And I'm asking you, I asked you some things early this morning, I'm asking you from the bottom of my heart that you would be women who make prayer a priority. I pray that God wakes you up. I pray that you're as sleepless and as tired as I am. I do. I pray that God directs you to prayer, that he calls you to it, that he drives you to it, that you will start to pray longer, you will pray better, you will pray louder, you will pray sooner, you will pray deeper. Because only prayer is going to work. Only prayer is going to help. We're to pray without ceasing. We're to pray continually. We're to pray always with all prayer, it says, for everything. We're to pray about everything. We're to give thanks. We're to bring our supplications. We're to bring our request to him. We are to be women of prayer. I may not be gifted, I may not be talented, I may not be very smart, but I can pray. I may not even pray very well, but I can pray. When I don't know what to do, I can pray. When I don't know how to help, I can pray. When I don't need what to say, I can pray. I can cry out to God. It is those who I know I can trust to pray that I have seen in these last years of my life that I value the most. Those who I know will pray for me, will pray with me. We have a situation with one of our kids that Mike mentioned on a Sunday morning, and we've always been very, very private about our family and our situation, but Mike just came one Sunday morning. I actually wasn't here. I was out of town, and he shared a little bit about something that was going on, and it isn't important what it was, but I was, I think I was on an airplane, or I was in another city or a town or something, and I didn't know what he said, but all of a sudden my phone, my text messages started going off. Heard Mike this morning. I don't know what it is, but I'm praying. Trust me, I'm praying for you over and over and over again. Those women who I know were called to prayer. We're called to prayer on that morning. And do you know what? Since Mike shared that on Sunday morning, we have seen amazing things begin to happen. God answers prayer. He's just waiting for you to cry out to him. I hope I'm making you feel guilty. I really do. I hope you feel as drawn to this as I am. I'm waiting for a mighty army to rise up all across the country. Women who will pray. Women who will pray diligently. Pray often. Pray for me. Pray for each other.